Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you make of Tevin Jenkins being unable to practice yesterday in shells after being listed as limited in a walkthrough on Wednesday? Are you less hopeful he will play on Sunday? Is his injury status worse for the team or a player hopeful of getting a new contract in the offseason?
I feel bad for Tevin Jenkins because, unfortunately, whether he's cursed or whatever it is, all these little injuries are mounting up, and he's missed a lot of time. And you know, when Ryan Poles was asked about giving him a contract extension, he said something like, boy, I hope that is what we're, you know, I just don't think missing a game is good for him. I would like to see him play, and I don't think he's gonna play. I think that, you know, they had an imaginary practice. They had a mental exercise where you say if it was a normal day, would he practice? Well, he'd be limited. So you called him limited during a walkthrough. And then when you actually put shells on, again, it's not like you're hitting or anything. He couldn't do anything. That's yesterday. So is he going to practice today? Is he going to be able to start? I think they're going to move on. And I think Bill Murray will end up starting the game on Sunday. And I don't think that's good for the long-term future of Tevin Jenkins with the Bears.
I think you're exactly right, Mully, what you just said there. I don't think that's good either for Tevin's long-term. And so that's why, while I think he would be missed, typically when the Bears win, I don't go back and grind on what I taped on the DVR. Mm. So I have not watched it yet again, and I had a pretty busy week, so I didn't get to see a lot of Bill Murray a second time to kind of focus in on that. We talked about that earlier in the week. So I think they like him. I think the Bears like Bill Murray. At least they sound like they do.
Yeah.
So I think this is worse for Jenkins. Now, again, okay, like, let's just keep him off his feet. He knows the plays. Maybe that's what's going on. I think today would probably be a bet. Listen, if he doesn't practice today, he's not playing Sunday morning, right?
Well, if he doesn't practice today, they'll probably rule him out.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. So, I mean, I think today is the bigger day, but I think in the spirit of the question, this is worse news for Tevin than it is for the Bears.
Yeah, I think so, because of the depth they do have at the position. They used Bill Murray last week. It's not an ideal situation. I'll tell you, it's not an insignificant loss either, because the Jaguars, you don't want them to be able to control the line of scrimmage with their defensive line. They have a couple good edge rushers. They also, remember Roy Robertson-Harris? Remember him? He's in the middle of that Jaguar defense, his fourth season in Jacksonville, and he can be a menace. He can be disruptive, and he's going to be probably lined up right in the middle there. So you want to take care of business, and you need Tevin Jenkins healthy. I don't think he's going to be healthy. It doesn't look like it's trending in that direction. So let's talk about a contract extension. Boy, there's a reason why the Bears did not want to go to the table with him. It was a prove it season. And right now, Tevin Jenkins has proven that he is injury prone. And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of it. So I don't know what to expect, but I think we're probably leaning toward the Bears, you know, waiting and seeing on Tevin Jenkins moving forward, taking the bye week, and then coming back and hoping he can stay on the field. It's not so much starting games, it's finishing them.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
That is the voice of Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs, Biggs time, 7 a.m. Back to 7 a.m. for Biggs this morning. So Hurricane Milton had delayed the Jaguars. They are now in London. Got there late our time last night, so early London time. Is this a big advantage for the Bears, and how surprised are you that the Jaguars didn't jump on a plane earlier in the week?
Well, I am very surprised they didn't do that and anticipate the storm and the weather in Florida. They're in the state of Florida. They should have anticipated this, and maybe they wanted to delay as long as possible because they have two games there back-to-back, and they didn't want to be away from home that long. They also have probably very significant personal concerns with families there they have to take care of. They have to make sure they're fine. They don't want to just flee and leave their families by themselves. Perhaps that factored into the decision, but it did seem to be a strange one. And you don't want to reduce this to just Ed, who has the edge in terms of the weather handling or logistics, because it sounds like we're reducing this or minimizing what's going on in Florida, and you don't want to do the devastation is terrible, and you feel for the people who live there and are going through this, and our hearts go out to them. But this, as far as the football game is concerned, has to benefit the Bears. They have been there since Tuesday morning. They are very comfortable. They brought their team barber. They are definitely getting all the comforts. They're in the English countryside. They're skipping merrily down the path to practice, to the practice pitch. It's in the backyard, essentially. They have very idyllic setting. Meanwhile, the Jaguars are jet-lagged and sleepy, arriving Friday morning in the middle of the night. This has got to be an advantage, Bears.
Advantage Bears, but I got to be honest, the team barber thing, that's inching into drinking game status, okay? Every time we mention the team barber, you got to take a drink.
Okay. Okay.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny where we've gotten with the team barber. I mean, could we have a little bit of fun? I know we've joked around, I don't know, on or off the air, but there's a famous 670 The Score story of a host getting a haircut, I believe, on the air. Okay, would we want to get the barber in here to cut someone's hair?
You volunteering?
Well, I could use a haircut like every other week.
Okay.
I mean, you know, neither one of you guys are interested.
No.
Be a good Twitch gimmick. All right. I mean, let's. I think we've talked about it a lot. Let's plug this guy. Let's get a haircut. Anyway.
I want you to finish.
That's another drink.
But seriously, I could understand if you're in Green Bay how there is a need to bring a barber to the building because maybe culturally there are no barbers. If you have, you know, if you're a black guy, can you get to a barber in Green Bay? That was always why they were kind of importing a barber from Milwaukee for the Packers. I don't see that problem in Chicago. This is a world-class city. We've got great people who do hair all over town. I don't know that you need to have a barber in the building. Is it a convenience? I suppose. But how often does one need that? I mean, is this like, it's like the old Dean Martin roast where a guy is constantly pretending to cut his hair. I don't understand it.
Back to Dustin.
I think it's a huge advantage for the Bears. This will be one of the things, if the Jaguars win, and there's plenty of people that think the Jaguars are going to win this game, like the Bears were there all week and it didn't work out, and so did they screw up? Like, that, you know, did they error?
I think it is an advantage, Bears. I think that it makes no sense to me that if you travel as often as they do and you have all this knowledge about international travel, if you see the weather reports and it looks like it's going to get bad, leave a day early. It's not like they have to pay a fee to change their flight. It's their plane. Just leave a day early. I mean, if it were me, I might be eyeballing a change of fee. It's insane to me that they wouldn't just go out a day ahead of time.
Boarding Group C.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like they're sitting there waiting. And, oh, the line at security was too long.
Who's sitting next to Trevor?
Yeah, it's just different than our world. And I'm sure there's plenty of digs where they could stay if they got there before their check-in time. Give me a break. It is definitely advantage Bears.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
The voice of Mark Grody, he's here at 8:25 with you guys talking Bears. What quarterback will have a better day on Sunday? Which guy would you rather have with the ball down 6, 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? How close is the decision?
Well, I think that it is an uncertainty because I don't know enough about what's going on with Trevor Lawrence. He hasn't played particularly well. He was better last week. He's capable of being a pretty good player. I think that we are so sort of limited in our exposure to Jacksonville that even when you go back and you look at some stuff, he's not doing the same stuff he could do a year or two ago. He looks like a different player at different times over the course of my watching of some tape of him. I think that we're seeing Caleb Williams get better every week. And I think the other element here that I find fascinating is that he's now developing or has developed a pretty good rapport with DJ Moore. And if that can sustain itself, I think he's good with Roma Dunze. I don't know if he's going to be going to him a lot. I also think that Keenan Allen has been healthy the last 2 weeks, and he has been off the injury list for 2 weeks running. That's excellent. That implies that there isn't an injury delay or there isn't an injury problem that he may secretly have to overcome. So as he's getting healthier and into the season, I think his rapport with him could build. So I think that the weaponry of the Bears is pretty good. And I think that as a result, I think I want the Bears receiving core and their quarterback on the field at the end of a game.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there. I think it could be the Keenan Allen game. You know, maybe DJ Moore's back to being a decoy or something like that. This could be the Keenan Allen game Sunday morning. I think there is something to the fact that Trevor Lawrence doesn't love football as much as he used to, just a little bit older.
Boy.
I'll take the younger guy. I'll take the hungrier guy. I'll take the Bears' weapons. Caleb Williams, Bears' weapons, down in the fourth quarter. That's what I'm going
Interesting. With. I think that Caleb Williams is going to have a better game than Trevor Lawrence on Sunday, but that's probably because of the defense they're facing. The Jags give up 287.8 yards per game, the worst pass defense in the NFL. That's an invitation and an opportunity for Caleb Williams to use Keenan Allen. I think it will be a big game for him to use DJ Moore, to use everybody. The middle of the field is going to be wide open. Cole Kmet's going to have a day too. This is going to be a big day for Caleb Williams. I think the passing game is going to be clicking again. That said, with due respect to how much I do have faith, and I am definitely behind Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence is no slouch. He has struggled. I'm not going to question how much he loves football. But if you're down that amount of points, according to the question, if you need one score, I would trust the guy who probably has done it before at the NFL level, Trevor Lawrence, more than I would Caleb Williams at this stage, only because we haven't seen a big enough sample size. Trevor Lawrence is not somebody to underestimate, even though he may not be somebody who has lived up to expectations as a number one overall pick. He is coming in hot. He had 371 yards against the Colts. He completed 28 of 34, 2 touchdowns and an interception. This is a guy that can't hurt you. And if the Jaguars need a touchdown, they're down 6 with 4 minutes to go, and he's got the ball, I don't think you want to look away. I don't think you want to get overconfident. He can still hurt you. He still is a very good quarterback, even though I think that Caleb Williams will have a better day on Sunday.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, Stacey, you can. You'll do that at 9 o'clock. She is also with the Bears and Jaguars in London. Tank Bigsby, not Brad Biggs, but Bigsby, has emerged as a running threat, averaging 8 yards per carry for the Jaguars. Given the Bears' struggles against the run, how big of a concern is Bigsby to you? Is the key to stopping the Jaguars' run game?
Yeah, whatever.
Take Bigsby Talks Football with you. I think that this is a big part of the game on Sunday because it goes at what could hurt the Bears more, not more than we have talked about. It's been the issue of the week. Jaquan Brisker's absence could be felt in the run defense as much as anything. I think when you look at what the Bears are doing with him against the run, he is a big part of that. Now, not that Elijah Hicks can't handle it, not that Kevin Byard isn't good against the run as well. Kevin Byard's a sure tackler, but the loss of Jaquan Brisker could be felt in the run defense, and Tank Bigsby is a home run hitter. He is a guy, he can have an explosive play in the running game, averaging 8 yards a carry. I know ETN is the guy that you maybe has the speed. I don't know how healthy he will be, but you look at Tank Bigsby, and that would be job one for the Bears defense, which hasn't been great against the run, is 17th or 18th in the league. It still can be an elite defense because of takeaways and sacks, but you want to wrap up. You want to get in the gang tackling mode, and you need to stop him. The key is to do what you do every week. Win your man-to-man battles, gang tackle, and pursue, and run to the football.
Boy, I thought Matt Bowen with Bernstein and Harris said it very well. The Bears have left their enforcer back in Chicago. Brisker's not with the team. That could be a big, big deal come Sunday. And again, when your quarterback doesn't love football as much as the opposing quarterback does, I think the best way to keep that quarterback who loves football more is to run the ball. To keep, that's how you, you know, maintain possession of the ball, own the clock.
Yeah, Tank Bigsby, his mom apparently gave him the nickname when he was a little kid. He used to run around the house and run into things. So she called, his name is Cartavius Bigsby, and she called him Tank.
Tank.
Because of the fact, this is a toddler thing. He's like 6 feet tall, and he's 213. He's on the leaner side, but apparently as a toddler, he would just run over anything that got in his way, as toddlers are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tank, it's maybe a misnaming of a person, right? You think of a guy that is like, how did he get that name? Well, he ran over six players. Not really his game. He's fast and he's quick, and he was a third round draft pick. He's a pretty good player. The Bears have struggled in run defense. I think that has as much to do, if not more to do, with their defensive line, which has been excellent in terms of getting after the quarterback, but maybe they don't have the anchor that other teams have, or haven't developed enough of other aspects of their players, but they're certainly very good at rushing the passer, a lot better than maybe we anticipated they would be when they were thinking about making a big move before the season started for a pass rusher and didn't do so. So I think that they're rushing the passer well, and they're getting it. They do some things well, but I think that maybe they're not as formidable in the front of the in their line as you would want. And they're missing some fits, etc. But I think that they can work on that, and I don't believe that missing the safety will prevent them from being able to tackle anyone. The enforcer idea, that's interesting. You know, you're not afraid of them because no one's going to come up and give you a lick. I think that's an interesting idea, but I don't know that it means that they're just not going to be able to tackle and just allow people to run all over them. I also think that if, with any luck at all, they will situationally score some points and maybe force a team. It's kind of what happened last week, if you think about it. You know, they gave up a touchdown early, 7 points. They gave up 10 in the game.
Yeah, you want to get a lead early if you're the Bears, so they can't rely on the running game. Bigsby is a third rounder from Auburn, but it reminds me of the way the Bears treated David Montgomery in the third round. They gave him the first round treatment.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, my God. What a question. What a question.
Ooh, there he is. Joe Fortenbaugh, get that pen and paper ready or a pencil. 740. What was your greatest takeaway from yesterday's American League playoff games? Are you taking the Padres or the Dodgers tonight? And what do you anticipate the Final Four looking like when we get back together here on Monday morning?
My greatest takeaway, believe it or not, was I don't like the Yankees. I don't think I knew that I didn't really like the Yankees, but I felt disappointed and let down when the Yankees got through. And I don't like the idea of an all-New York final. I don't like the idea of a Subway Series. It just doesn't do much for me. Is that jealousy? Am I just kind of a typical Chicagoan who, you know, would prefer my teams to do well than someone else's? I don't think I knew that I didn't like the Yankees as much as I don't like the Yankees. But I realized as I was watching that game, again, I don't like these guys. I don't like watching this. This is not going the way I hoped it would. I feel we talked a little bit about Detroit. I really love that story. I think it's tons of fun. I think Detroit is an underdog city that, you know, the only first city in American history to go over 1 million people and then dip back under. I feel a kinship to Detroit. I've spent a lot of time there through my wife and her family, and I find them a good underdog story. I hope that having their ace pitcher on the staff will see them through. I would love to see them continue this journey they're on. It's just a fun one to watch. I'm worried about the Padres tonight. I thought the Padres were in a really good situation, but I think the Dodgers winning the last game and the feeling that the Dodgers have set up and take notice, that's a problem. I wonder if Dave Roberts, if you really want to get Dave Roberts, then win the game, because maybe that ends Dave Roberts. Who knows?
I enjoyed the games yesterday. Caught a little bit of it with my dad. That was nice. It's interesting. The Guardians, when they win their games, they seem to have a guy, right? A guy step up and kind of carry the team offensively. So we'll see if they have that guy on Saturday night. I'm pulling for the Tigers. I want the Tigers to advance. Mully, I'm with you. I'm a little bit jealous of what's going on with the Yankees and the Mets. I really am. It is good, though, that the Yankees are there. There's a lot of stars on that team. That's good for baseball. It's good for viewership. So I can support that part of it tonight. I mean, I don't think the fans nationally lose either way, Padres, Dodgers. I'm just personally kind of bored with the Dodgers, personally. So I'm just rooting for everybody to get to know their stars, because, again, they're a West Coast team. They play late at night. You know, this group right here, people listening, probably don't see a whole heck of a lot of Padres games. So that's why I'm kind of pulling for the Padres.
Good team, fun team.
Right, fun team, good team. I don't, there's no losers other than the team and that fan base, whoever wins and loses tonight. So I take the Padres. I'm hoping for that. But this is good. The baseball playoffs have been fun. Now I just wish the Cubs would get their rear ends in them.
Dodgers are going to dispatch the Padres tonight. You don't go back to L.A. That's too good of a team to give a second chance, and they did that. They're going to take advantage of the reprieve. Dave Roberts will be spared. If they lose, they could fire him. And if they fire him, he'll be the hottest manager available, because people will want his input. People will want his
Sox
experience. And the White Sox may make a phone call. They won't be able to afford him, but why wouldn't you call him? If you're the White Sox, why don't you call all these managers who have experience? Skip Schumacher, if Dave Roberts has fired him, David Bell, David Ross. Instead, we got names from John Heyman, Phil Nevin, Daniel Descalso. I'll tell you, A.J. Ellis is in the mix. Clayton McCullough. So these are names that are, yeah, you should see Mully's face right now. That is what the White Sox are in terms of the managerial search. Back to the playoffs. Dodgers win tonight. The Tigers win tomorrow. The Final Four on Monday morning will be Yankees-Tigers. I'm sorry. Yes, Yankees-Tigers. Sorry, Molly. The Yankees are going to win that one, too.
Yeah,
and then Mets-Dodgers. And I don't think we're going to have a New York, all New York World Series, thank goodness. Could be Dodgers-Yankees still have that possibility. And this has been a phenomenal postseason for Major League Baseball.
This will be a pick six.
There's your ball game.
Can you please give us your must-see college football game of the weekend and name a winner of that game, please? If you want to name a couple of games and offer a parlay, well, we're all ears.
I don't know about parlays, but Ohio State's going to beat Oregon. And Notre Dame's going to beat Stanford. And the rest of the Big Ten is going to be fascinating to follow. But I think if the big one, you're looking at the big one, it's going to be Ohio State. The Ohio State University will beat the Oregon Ducks and deflate their national championship hopes.
Well, I'll be listening here on The Score, coverage at 6, Ohio State at Oregon. I can't wait for the Ducks to punch the Buckeyes right in the kisser. I'll leave the parlays to Joe Fortenbaugh, 740.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Joe about all of it. I can't wait to congratulate him on his Alabama. I don't know if he picked them, but he definitely said they were going to struggle and they lost. So, David, it's not often you and I are on the same page, but you are so right about what's going to happen in that game. The Ohio State University is going to trounce Oregon. And they are going to deflate the duck, whatever magical giant duck they want to put in the river down in Indy next year. And they're going to watch that thing. They're going to try to fill it. They're going to bring out all the pumps. There'll be too many holes in it because they are just going to punch their way through that team, Mr. Dustin. Can't wait to see it either. All over. The Ohio State University. There might be Ohio State and Texas are the two best teams in college football.
Yeah, I think so. And if Ohio State is impressive in beating Oregon, then they can lay claim to this fact that they think they're number one.
They'll
get a chance to prove it. Northwestern at Maryland tonight. Very intrigued about that. I don't like Friday night football in the Big Ten, but they will catch my interest because I'm curious to see if they can go on the road and win a game.
I love it. All right, we got the obvious question next. We're going to talk about who wins the Bear game. We're going to give you our selections. We'll break it all down in the pick and the extra point next. It's Mully and Holmes.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.